Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, each and every one who are joining in with us this evening. We bless God, we praise God, and we thank God for each and every one of you. We welcome you to this, the sixth night, hallelujah, God, of Purpose Kingdom Networks 2019 End of the Year Revival, our fourth annual that God has allowed us to see, and we bless and praise God for. We are just so excited. I am just so excited because of the move of God that I have experienced take place this week. I just bless God for everything that he has done and that he is doing. We have with us this evening a fantastic man of God, an anointed man of God. He is no stranger here to Purpose Kingdom Network. We have with us Pastor Jamon Johnson. He will be bringing the word of God for us this evening, and I'm excited to hear from this man of God. And as always, before we hear from the man of God, we will be ministered to through song by our very own Sister Adrian Allen. Amen. But before any of them come, our theme this year is Watching for Jesus. And our theme scripture comes from Matthew 25, verse 13. Again, it's Matthew 25, verse 13. And it says, Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Hallelujah, God. And we know that the word of the Lord is already blessed. So we are going to be ministered to by in song by Sister Adrian Allen. And immediately once she's finished, the very next voice you will hear will be from the man of God, Pastor Jamon Johnson. Bless God, and I'll see you once he's finished. Sister Adrian.
Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus. So holy, meek, and mild. He brought life and hope to all he prayed. Won't you listen to the angels sing? So give him the glory, glory, glory to the newborn king. For he was heralded by the angel, born in a lonely manger. God chose the earthly brother as his mother, and Joseph as his earthly father. Three wise men traveled from afar. They were guided by that shining star to see King Jesus, where he laid in a manger filled with hay, talking about Jesus. Jesus, 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 oh, what a wonderful child. Where he is, Jesus, 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 so holy, meek, and mild. He brought life and hope to holy rain. Won't you listen to the angels sing? So give him the glory, the glory, the glory to our newborn King.
Hello, everyone. My name is Pastor Jamon Johnson. I am excited, as always, to be with you all again. Tonight, I promise you, and I mean this, I won't take very much of your time, but I just want to just start, as always, by thanking the many of you who are listening around this world. Wherever you are, whether at work, in your car, at home, or whatever you're doing, I just want to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for taking time out of your busy schedule, from taking time out of putting your kids to bed or bathing them to listen to the word of God this evening. And I thank you for that. And I look forward to what the Lord is going to do through me to for you tonight. Tonight is no stranger text. This text is the theme this evening, and I'm pretty sure that it was spoken on, but I just wanted to talk about this a little bit, as well as a few other things. The text this evening is Matthew 25, beginning with verse 1, and it says, "And that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. But the wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming," meaning that it took him a long time to get there, or in essence, he was late. "And they all became drowsy and fell asleep. And at midnight, the cry rang out, 'Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out.' And in verse 9, 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both of us and for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves.' And in verse 10, 'But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut.'" And in verse 11, the last couple of verses, "Later, the others also came. 'Lord, Lord,' they said, 'open the door for us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I tell you, I don't know you.'" And in the last verse, now verse key verse for this evening, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour of my coming." God, we just ask that at this moment that you will simply be in the midst. I'm praying that you will penetrate throughout the airways, through the phones, God, however individuals are listening tonight, and for these few moments, God, that you have for me to share this message, I pray that they will hear nothing but words from you. This is my prayer, believing that you have already started to answer this. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember as a kid, one of my favorite games was freeze tag. And I love this game of freeze tag simply because, and you know, if you played this game, you know how this game goes. When you're playing freeze tag, you pretty much will have somebody, and their job in freeze tag will be to go to a certain location, which will be considered the base. And they will have to cover their eyes or close their eyes, and they will have to count to a certain number. So, for instance, if I was the one who had to count, I will begin counting 1, 2, 3, and I would keep going until 20. And in the process of me counting, it would give them enough time, the other players, enough time to prepare themselves to find a hiding spot, to find somewhere where I possibly could not find them. And I remember in this game, no matter how it went, there will always be kids who perhaps did not have the opportunity to find somewhere, and they will always be caught off guard. Some of the other things I remember is I remember one time I had a trip to go to, and this trip was out of the country, and I was supposed to pack for 3 weeks. But instead of packing a couple of days in advance, I remember packing the day of. And a couple of hours later, I remember getting on the plane and eventually making it to my destination. And I remember going through my suitcase and discovering that I had forgot very important things that I needed. The reason that I forgot this was because I wasn't prepared for what was to come. You see, I waited to the last minute to get myself ready. I waited for the last minute to prepare myself for the trip. And in fact, instead of preparing myself for the trip, I was in essence hurting myself because I wasn't fully prepared for what was to come. Many times in our lives, we find ourselves in the same position where we have found ourselves packing for trips or we have found ourselves in certain positions and we were not prepared for that. All of our lives we spent preparing ourselves for something. As kids, we prepare ourselves to do well in school. In high school, we prepare ourselves for college or for what's to come. And we prepare ourselves to do taxes. We prepare ourselves to do this and to do that. And all year long in 2019, you've been preparing yourself to do certain things. Or maybe you've been like the foolish ones where you have not been preparing yourself at all. But in the text today, Jesus is having a conversation with the disciples. And what I love about this conversation that he's having with the disciples is that the disciples asked him a question and Jesus goes into teaching mode. And what Jesus does is Jesus uses this parable in order to teach them a valuable lesson. The text says that after they ask him the question, Jesus responds to them by saying, but there's a day that's going to come. And look at the text. Right here in verse 1, it says, at the time the kingdom of heaven will come. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. What's interesting about the story is before we can even talk about this, we have to understand the cultural customs of their day. In this day, it's not like our day where if you were to propose to a woman, you can see her all the way up until the wedding, and then she will walk down the aisle and meet you, and you will greet your wife with a kiss and all of that stuff. But in this day, this was a prearranged marriage, a union that was brought together because throughout their lives, their parents have been prepping this young woman in order to be married. As she's growing up, they're not only prepping her to be somebody's wife, but they're also picking out that person, that young man who will one day be her husband. And in their cultural custom, it was customary that the bridegroom will pick out, in this case, 10 virgins who just so happen, you can say that they're in their wedding party. They're her bridesmaids, if you will. And their job is to help her get ready. But what's interesting, as I was doing my research over the course of the week, last week, I discovered that their job is not only to help prepare her, but they have a unique responsibility on the night of her wedding. This is their responsibility. Once she would, as she was preparing herself to get married, I read that it was the virgin's job to walk with the bride at night, to walk with her to her husband's house. And the whole point of having the lamps was to light the way in the direction. And so imagine at this moment you're preparing yourself. You haven't seen this man that you are going to call your husband. You haven't spent any time with him. And at this moment, he's already late because he hasn't showed up. He hasn't done anything. And at this moment, you're waiting, and your bridal party has gotten tired. They're tired of waiting for him to show up. And instead of standing and watching and preparing themselves for his coming, they instead fall asleep. And when the shout goes out that the bridegroom is coming, the text says that the 10 virgins arise from their sleep, and 5 of them discover that they don't have enough oil in their lamps to light the way, but the other 5 have more than enough. This is interesting to me because what Jesus is telling the disciples is a very important message, that Jesus is relating this parable to us as humans, even in this day, to us as the church. What God is saying to us, what Jesus is communicating to the disciples, is what Jesus is trying to tell you and I, which is not just to be ready, but Jesus is telling you that you have to be prepared even when it looks like you don't know where you're about to go, even when you don't know what's around the corner. The issue with the 5 who didn't have enough oil was because they did not prepare themselves, because they wasn't expecting to wait as long as they did. All of your life you've been hearing Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming again. But what Jesus is telling the disciples is the same thing that I'm telling you today, is that Jesus is saying that you have to be prepared for his return. And what's important about this is that they lost track of the fact that what their job was to do was to help the bride see the bridegroom. And the story says that they're asleep, and when they wake up, five of them don't even have enough. And this is amazing to me because some of us are just like this, that Jesus has given us 30 and 40 and 60 years to prepare for his return, and we're still wasting time doing what we want to do, living life the way that we want to live it. But I'm here to tell you today that at the end of 2019, what God expects for you to do as you walk into 2020 is that God expects you to be prepared and ready for his return. Here's the thing with this. I know that this is cliche and we've been saying this forever, but the reality is Jesus is coming. When you look at the world today and you look at what we're going through, all the signs that Jesus has given us or God has given us throughout Scripture is proving or is proof that he is coming again. The bride, the 10 virgins are there with the bridegroom, with the bride, and they're having a conversation amongst each other. Those five who didn't bring enough, they say to the five who did, well, can I just have some of yours? And the response from the five who had enough oil, they said, no. We don't have enough for the both of us. You got to go to the store. Go find the man and get some more for yourself. And as I'm struggling with this text, I'm struggling with this, and I'm reading 1 through 13 every day of last week, and I'm struggling with this because, for me, I come from a place where I grew up in a church where we talked and preached so hard about Jesus coming again, and we talked about being ready and getting your life together. But the question that I begin to ask God, well, God, if you want us to be prepared, how do we even become prepared? And Jesus begins, as I begin to question this, and as I begin to talk with God, God begins to talk to me, and God begins to say to me that what I want you to tell the people, this is how you become prepared. One, he says that, one, you have to start with understanding that you have to die to yourself every day. Listen to this. What God is telling us, that in order to be prepared, you have to die to yourself daily. You got to let go of some things. If I can make it clear, all 2019, you've been struggling with stuff. You've been dealing with stuff. You've been going through all sorts of issues. You've been having the same habits all 2019. And for some of us, we've been struggling with the same habits for a very long time. And what God is saying is God is coming back for people who is ready for him. He's not coming back to bring people who are still trying to get ready. God wants you to be prepared so that when he parts the clouds and that trumpet sounds, you can stand ready for his return. And as I began to look at that, God says, well, Jamon, you got to take off some stuff. God says that I require a newness of life. I need you to take off that old man and to put on that new man. And I was like, okay, God, that's okay. And he began to just hit me more and more with stuff. And number two, God said to me that after you take off that old person and you put on that new person, God, and you die to me, you die of yourself every day. That means you got to literally kill the flesh every day. Those habits that you struggle with, you got to defeat it in my name. What Jesus began to tell me was another way that you become prepared. Jesus says you got to fall on your knees and you got to build a prayer life with me. Oh, you see, many of us, we like to talk the talk, but until it's time to put it into action. For many of us, we can say all day, Jesus got you here, get you through it. But when it comes down to it, we go through stuff, we forget to even drop on our knees and pray to the one who can get us out. And Jesus is saying that not only do you have to put off some stuff and put on that newness of life and you got to take on this, but Jesus is saying you need a prayer life. You need to build a prayer life that's strong and that's consistent. You need to fall to your hands and your knees on a daily basis, and you need to cover your life in prayer. The third thing that I find that Jesus was telling me here was that after you've done all of that, Jesus says that what about the relationship you need with me? At this moment, God began to check me on some stuff because God began to say, you know, when God said you need a relationship, I was like, God, I got that covered. Like, I stand in the pulpit, I preach the word, I do Bible studies, I traveling all over the place, bringing people to your name, and I'm doing all of this. And Jesus is saying, yeah, yeah, that's okay, but do you have a real relationship with me? Do you really know who I am, or are you just going through the motion? And what I'm saying to you is that it's easy to just go through the motion day in and day out, and you've been going through the motions all year long, but 2020 is fastly approaching. It's literally right around the corner. And for many of you, you can't go into 2020 the same way that you were in 2019. One of my favorite stories, actually, kind of deviating from this just for a tad moment, is the story of the children of Israel. Or the Israelites. What I love about this story about the Israelites is that when Moses goes and he pleads with Pharaoh and he gives Pharaoh the warning to let his people go, Pharaoh doesn't heed the warning until the last plague. And what's interesting in here is that Pharaoh never prepared himself for what was about to come because Pharaoh didn't expect it to happen. But what I find interesting about this story, to all of you who are listening, is that when Moses actually get the people, the Israelites, freed from under the bondage of Pharaoh, it wasn't that their actions caused them to go in the wilderness. Listen to me now, because this is a lesson for somebody today. It wasn't that what they did caused them to go into the wilderness. What caused them, what the issue was, that what they were doing caused their time in the wilderness to be extended. Listen to this. The Israelites had to go through the wilderness regardless of not they disobey God or not. But the issue was that their disobedience and their unpreparedness for what was about to come is what caused them to stay in the wilderness for 40 years. Listen now, what should have taken them days took them years to get through, because God was trying to prepare them for the promised land. What I'm saying to you tonight is that all year and all the previous years, God has been taking you through some stuff. God has been causing you to go, allowing you to go through some stuff so that in 2020 you can walk into a new year, a new person ready, not only just so that you can walk into this new year ready and prepared for whatever God has for you, but God is allowing you to go through some stuff. God is allowing you to experience some stuff in life so that he can prepare you for his return. And hear me when I say this, whether you believe it or not, Jesus is coming again. And believe it or not, Jesus is coming soon. Story continues there in Matthew 25. And it says that after they done all of that, they have this conversation. The five continue to follow the bride. And when they get to the house, the story says that the door is shut and they're locked out. And at this moment, I just begin to just like kind of get excited at this, because I was like, okay, God, what are you saying here? What are you doing here? Why did you close the door on the other five who didn't have enough oil? And what God was saying was that it wasn't that I was trying to shut them out. It wasn't that I wasn't trying to give them an opportunity to partake in the festivities. It wasn't that I wasn't trying to give them the chance to be in the presence. It wasn't any of that. But the issue was they wasn't prepared for what was about to happen. They wasn't ready for what I had prepared for them. They wasn't ready for the festivity. And what God is saying to us today is that when he comes back, he's coming back for those who are ready to receive him. He's coming back for those who have done those necessary things to get their lives in order, to get their houses in order. And I heard a preacher say this before, and I would share this with you, that Jesus could have come anytime he wanted to. But the issue is that Jesus is still, or the thing is, not an issue, but the thing is, this is how much God loves us. Listen to this, that God is continually extending his grace and his mercy to us, that he's allowing us more time to prepare ourselves. Now, this is hope for somebody who's listening tonight, and maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you don't know how to get ready. Maybe you don't know how to prepare yourself for the return of God. And God is saying today that he's giving you some more time to prepare yourself. And I'm here to tell you today that we have no other choice but to take this opportunity that God is continuously extending to us. preparing yourself. You got to die to yourself. You got to get baptized. You got to change some stuff. You got to die to yourself. You got to die to that flesh. You got to die to that part of you that continuously wants to drink and wants to smoke, that wants to do all of those things. Whatever that issue is that's separating you, that's keeping you disconnected from Jesus Christ, God wants you to kill that. And hear me when I say this. The biggest trick of the devil is to make you think that you don't deserve something that he no longer has the chance to receive. Listen to this, and I'm going to say that again. The biggest trick of the devil is he wants you to think that you don't deserve to achieve something that he no longer has the ability to achieve. And I say that because he doesn't want to see you make it to heaven because he's missed out on that opportunity. And he's going to do everything he can to keep us from entering into those gates. And the text says that when they get there, the door is closed. The opportunity for them has come to an end. And this is a sad part of the story, but yet God is still amazing. You see, God is closing the door, or the door was closed on the five who forgot to have enough oil because they wasn't prepared. But the one thing that I would hate to see is for us not to make it into the kingdom because we wasn't prepared. You see, it's better for you to be prepared than to be getting ready when Jesus is coming back. And I say that to say that when Jesus is coming back, he wants you to be ready. And the story continues, simple. And it says that after they done all of that, they get to the house and they can't even get in because the door shut on them. They lost the opportunity. The text says that afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But in verse 12, it says, "But he answered, truly I say unto you, I do not know you." And in verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour of my coming." The key part in this story is two things. One, God wants us to prepare ourselves. But two, he tells us in verse 13 to watch because we don't know the hour of his coming. Scripture tells us all throughout the Bible, there's many texts to reference this that proves what this text is saying, where it talks about Jesus coming, or God is coming like a thief in the night. What's important here is that what Jesus is telling the disciples and what Jesus is telling all of those, though he's using the story of this wedding celebration, what Jesus is telling us is that not only are we supposed to be prepared, but Jesus is saying that the reason why we should be prepared is because nobody knows when he's coming again. The reality is the Bible says that not even the angels know when he's coming again. So God is saying to us that because you don't know the hour, the day, the minute, the second that I'm coming, you got to prepare yourself. Here's an interesting story. Imagine, you know, you got family and friends coming over. I remember one time I had family visiting from out of town. And I remember it, I didn't know that the family was visiting, first of all, from out of town. They showed up at my house uninvited. I wasn't prepared for them. I didn't know that they were coming. I had no intentions on even entertaining people. And I remember the moment that the doorbell rang at the door and I answered the door and I saw a group of seven people standing outside the door and they have traveled 3 hours to come and see me. I just remember the agony inside of me that I felt when I looked around the house. And though my house wasn't a mess, it just wasn't what I felt was in shape for people to come and to visit or for me to entertain people. And I remember just how that felt of not knowing that I was prepared. And it, again, it wasn't because my house wasn't in shape, but I if I had known that they were coming, I would have bought certain stuff. I would have cooked some food. I would have done different things to make their stay and their visit more comfortable. But here's the same reality, is that that's what Jesus or God wants us to do. God wants you to prepare and to act as if he's coming right now, this very second. You need to prepare yourselves, prepare your life, make room for Jesus' return, prepare your house, get some stuff in order. And the reality is, we are on the break of a new year, and God is saying to us, for many of us, this is another reality, that you need to empty out some stuff in your house and to prepare yourself for what's to come. And that's simple. Jesus, our God, in essence, was allowing us to understand that not only is he coming again, but God is telling us that he wants us to be ready. And the interesting thing about this being ready is that the reason why God is giving us this opportunity and he's warning us, or he's extending the opportunity for us, is because God wants all of us to have the opportunity to make it into the kingdom. And today, there's somebody who's listening. You've been struggling all year long. You've been battling with addictions. You've been struggling with suicidal thoughts. You've been struggling in a failed marriage. You've been doubting. You've walked away from the church. You walked away from God. You've given up hope, or maybe you're on the verge of giving up. Maybe you've haven't been treated the best this year. Maybe this year just wasn't your year. Maybe it wasn't your year financially. But I want you to know something, that Jesus loves you, and Jesus died for you to save you from your sins. And the reason that he did that, it's because he recognized that something had to happen so that he can come back and save a filthy wretch like you and I. And I want you to know tonight that no matter where you are, that there's hope. That yes, while Jesus is extending us a grace period to prepare ourselves, he's coming back again, and we simply don't know. He could come back in the next hour. He can come tomorrow. He can come in another 50 or 100 years. But what are you going to do with the time that God has given you? Are you going to be like the five who didn't have enough oil? They didn't take their role serious. They wasn't ready and prepared for the festivities? Or will you be like the five who over prepared themselves with oil? And because of their faithfulness, because of what they did, they were able to partake in the festivities. And hear me when I say this, Jesus and our God doesn't want to exclude any of us from the festivities. It's going to be a party in heaven, brothers and sisters. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a good time. I'm going to see, you know, be able to talk with him. I'm going to be able to ask important questions. But we're going to have a good time, and Jesus wants us all to be a part of that. Will you accept Christ into your heart today? And will you begin to prepare yourself to let go of some things, to get your house in order? Because God is coming, and he's coming again. God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the parable that you gave us. And in that parable, God, you gave us a command to get ready, to prepare ourselves, to be vigilant, to watch and to wait for your coming. And so, God, I'm praying that you will allow us to prepare the areas of our lives that we need to prepare, that you will allow us to kill off that flesh, that you will allow us to do whatever it takes, God, so that when you come again with the angels and you part those clouds and that trumpet sounds and you come, God, we can be able to say that, God, we are truly ready, and we can stand before you, God, knowing that we're about to receive the ultimate prize, which is to live in eternity with you. And so, God, right now, I'm asking that whoever needs you, God, to begin the process of cleaning out some stuff in their closets, in their homes, I'm praying that, God, you will begin that process, that you will empty some stuff, that you will allow us to do some spring cleaning in our hearts and in our lives. God, I'm praying that because of the world that we live in, God, that you will come and get us from this world. But while we're here, God, allow us to continue to be faithful. Allow us to continue to be, show us how to be better stewards of everything that you have given us. And God, I thank you for dying on that cross over 2,000 years ago. I thank you for paying the ultimate sacrifice that I didn't deserve. I thank you, God, for everything that you have done for us. Thank you for all the blessings over 2019 that you have done. Thank you even for the hardships, because in that, God, blessings came out of that. Lessons came out of that. But God, I want to thank you for coming again. And I look forward to that moment when we can see you face to face. Thank you, God. And we look forward to your return. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We just thank God, hallelujah, God, again, watching for Jesus, because we know not the day nor the hour. We don't know when he is going to return. And you know what? I'm going to put this note out here real quick. The person that comes to you and says, hey, Jesus is coming on March, whatever, whatever, the year, whatever, whatever, run from them, because they lying to you. Because he said, we know not the day nor the hour. He said,
yes,
he would,
Lord,
give us signs. He told us we could look around at what's going on and tell how close he is. So he gave us signs. He gave us mysteries and keys to the kingdom and mysteries of God, so that his true believers can understand what's going on when all hell is breaking loose. I just bless God. We have to watch for Jesus. I thank and praise God for Pastor Jamon Johnson. I'm just so excited about what God has done this week here on our 2019 end of the year revival. I'm excited. I'm excited about marching into tomorrow. I don't know about y'all, but I've been coming every night in the spirit of expectation. And when I tell you that each night my expectations have been met, I just bless and praise God. And can I share one more thing, Pastor Jamon? Because you know what? You said something when you were bringing the word about when you were a little boy. And it made me think about when I was a little girl. Because when I was a little girl, I always asked one question whenever I heard that parable. Y'all always teach us to share. You know, teamwork makes the dream work. Why couldn't those five share their oil? Like, to me, especially as a little girl, I was like, man, Lord, that's kind of crazy. They was a little selfish, wasn't they? But so what the Lord explained to me, the oil represents the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And the
yes.
only person that can share the Holy Ghost is God. So they couldn't share their oil.
Right.
They couldn't.
You know, Pastor, is this. if the oil is the Spirit of God, right, and
mm-hmm.
He lives in you, right, and you say
right.
to me, I need some oil. No, you got to go to the source. You got to go get it from the source. You can't get it from me. You got to go to the person who sells it, and the person who has it is Jesus Christ.
And wait, because I just heard it in my spirit. Somebody said, well, you know, the Bible says that people got the spirit from the laying on of hands. Yeah, but that's only when the Lord tells that person to lay on hands so that the spirit can jump. So it's still coming from Jesus Christ. Oh, I just bless God. I'm sorry. Y'all get right. We can right go somewhere else with it. No, we not. I'm going to be obedient. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We thank you for joining in for the sixth night of the 2019 end of the year revival watching for Jesus. We invite you to join in with us tomorrow evening. Tomorrow evening, we are coming on at 11 p.m. We are going to have a Holy Ghost New Year's Eve watch night party, praying our way into the new year and in the presence of God. You do not want to miss this woman of God who is coming to lead us to the throne of glory tomorrow, Evangelist Trina Lindsay Hairston. She is going to just take us to higher heights and deeper depths in the Lord. Do not miss the woman of God. Again, that is at 11 p.m. tomorrow. Bring your New Year's, and if you do not have a watch night service to go to in your church home, if you don't have it, don't be afraid. Call into Purpose Kingdom Network. Log in to Purpose Kingdom Network, www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom, tomorrow night at 11 p.m., and bring your New Year's in the presence of the Lord. We thank you all so much for joining in with us this evening. Pastor Johnson, thank you once again. I just can't bless God enough for you. Thank you once again. And the ministry is back in your hands to close us out in prayer.
Father God, we thank you for just, man, words can't express the kind of God that you are. You saw fit to die for us, and then you saw fit to say, hey, I'm going to come back again so that they can live with me. And God, I just thank you. I can't thank you enough for being a great God. We live in a world where our earthly fathers have walked out on us. We live in a world where people have given up on us. And we thank you that you have never given up on us. And I pray that, God, you would touch somebody's heart who's listening to this, God, who needs to know that you love them. And you love them enough that you were willing to sacrifice your son, but you love them enough, God, that you're willing to take them from this cruel world. And so, God, we thank you for all that you have done. And we praise you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I would just say this to those who are listening. Remember, God loves you. He's coming again. And I encourage you to get into your Bible, to look at that text, but even go Revelation and Daniel and begin to study about his second coming, because the story only gets better from there. And I hope that you all have an amazing New Year's, and I pray that many of you all go into 2020 better than you were in 2019. Have a blessed night. Love you all. Look forward to being with you all again.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.